Welcome to room 4216. I'm so glad you've come.
Hi, Pastor Dave.
Hi, Cecilia. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good.
I'm actually thinking, believe it or not, it's not Christmas, but I'm thinking of a Christmas song that
oh
I love.
Oh, my gosh. I know why. People, if you catch this at a different time, we're actually recording this in the middle of a heat wave here in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
You're thinking of, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas so you can have snow and stop all the heat, huh?
Not quite. Oh. I'm thinking of a song that Stan Freberg did.
Oh.
Okay. He was quite funny. And this little boy is talking about all the bad things he did during the year.
Little boys do bad things.
Yes, they do. You know, he put a frog in his sister's bed, and somebody snitched on him, and he filled the sugar bowl with ants, and somebody snitched on him. So I'm getting nothing for Christmas. Mommy and Daddy are mad. I'm getting nothing for Christmas because I ain't been nothing but bad. Well, in the last verse, hear sleigh bells, and he's coming, just like he did last year. And then you hear a gruff voice, "Where's the silver, little boy? In that dining room, like I told you." And so this thief has slid down the chimney, and he and the little boy sing the last chorus together.
Funny, but
it is very funny.
Really not so funny because, stealing trickery. But that will lead into actually what we're going to be talking about today. You shall not steal is the commandment we're going to do, but we're going to do a twist on it. And I'll explain on the other side of the music. So, Cecilia, I'm going to give you a list of Bible verses, and I'd just like you to read them, and we'll talk about each one then.
Sure. Leviticus 19:35. Do not use dishonest standards when measuring length, weight, or quantity.
Dishonest standards. Farmers can make a bushel of wheat mounded or depressed, or some will even put something extra at the bottom, a chunk of dirt and then wheat on top of it, so that you're not getting the exact amount. God doesn't like that.
And then there used to be people that would put weights on the scales so that people would get the wrong amount.
So whenever you're doing transactions, be honest about it for the value of it. That's what this verse is trying to say. But now, can you think of any situation for those who aren't working and in business, how this might apply?
Well, there are times when we sell candy and such for our organizations, and somebody might come up and say, "I want to buy 12 candy bars." And the person slips in 11 instead of 12.
There's so many there you can't really tell. I also can think of, I listen to the radio and the trading stations, and people sell things, used things, and if they're selling something that's somewhat broke or not complete, it'd be another way of misusing. So honesty.
Psalm 37:21. The wicked borrow and do not return, but the righteous give generously. Oh.
What's the matter?
Oh, well, when I was younger, I used to do that a lot.
Oh, what did you do?
Oh, well, I wouldn't return books to the library, for one thing. And then I remember there was this video that was going on a tour around the country, and it was my turn to have the video, and I never returned it. And I made the excuse that I just couldn't get to the post office to ship it back to the next person.
But, you know, when you borrow something, it is easy to make excuses, isn't it? I'll get to it tomorrow. I'll get to it the next day or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I remember borrowing a putty knife from my son-in-law, and I used it, and I set it down, and I forgot about it. But he it came up that, oh, I was looking for my putty knife, but I remembered that you had it. And I went, oh, my gosh. And so I got it to him the next week right away.
Mm-hmm.
Borrowing and not returning. Ooh. And what did it say about the righteous? The
righteous give generously.
Generously. So not only return, but maybe return something else with it. Interesting.
Ephesians 4:28. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need.
This one's interesting. I guess some people were stealing and not working, and Paul's saying, no, you need to work, don't steal. Seems straightforward, but I think there's some twists to this, isn't there?
Yeah. For one thing, what can I do with my own hands that I can share with someone in need?
Actually, that's a fascinating one, Cecilia, and I noticed before we got started today, we always sit and chat, and you were mentioning how you were looking to buy a book to put into the backpacks that you're packing for, what was it again, at your church?
Foster kids.
Foster kids. So you are giving. You are doing something. You're thinking and you're working. I know a couple weeks ago you said you were loading the backpacks. That's another thing you did with
your
hands.
Well, that's what we're going to be doing, yeah.
So you are, even with the limited income you have, very small. And I know some will say, well, I can't do anything. I can't even work. Do notice the contrast that Paul is putting here, though, between stealing and working. If one has a disability and cannot work, he's not speaking about that. He's speaking about someone who's healthy and can work. They shouldn't steal, but instead they should work and so they can give something to those in need. And here you are, some would say, in need because you're not able to really work because of your blindness, and I am too, and yet you're generous. I think that's
try to be
fitting it exactly.
Pastor, all you have written here is Joshua 7:20-22,
mm-hmm.
and Achan.
Yeah, I wanted to tell this story. We're all familiar with the story of the taking of the city of Jericho, and they marched around and the walls fell, right?
Mm-hmm.
And God said, take all of the silver and gold and bronze and put it in the treasury of the temple.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the next chapter, chapter 7, God directs Joshua to go take the city of Ai. The spies went, and they said, we can take it. And Ai is literally spelled Ai. Sometimes it's pronounced I, but I do Ai. And they went up, but they were routed like crazy. And the Israelites came with their tail tucked between their legs and went, oh, and so Joshua went to the Lord and said, what's going on, Lord? Oh, my goodness. And the Lord said, well, I'm summarizing here now. I didn't say it quite this way, but one was unfaithful and took devoted things and hid them. Well, it came out to show that Achan, in the destruction of Jericho, took some of the silver and gold and hid it in his tent. And this is why God was angry and had the Israelites routed at Ai, because somebody was unfaithful.
So, people can steal from God and believe that no one will see it. But God knows.
But God knows. Indeed he does. Indeed he does.
There's something I don't understand here. Achan was the only one that stole things from God.
Right.
But all of Israel was punished.
Yeah.
Now, in modern day assemblies or whatever, there are people that steal from the church. And yet the whole church is not punished.
Well, a couple things here. One, not everyone in the whole Israelite was punished. Some soldiers did lose their life at Ai. That's true. And it wasn't Achan. But secondly, God wanted to bring home the reality. You are a new people. You are people who are honest both with others in your dealings with material things, but also with me. And so God had to bring this to their attention, because otherwise no one would have known. If all of a sudden Achan was found dead on the ground, well, he must have had a heart attack. No one would know. But because of the situation, what happened, they understood, oh, we need to be fully honest with God as well. And that's why everyone suffered. And besides, it's a good Trekkie thing. Don't you remember in the Star Trek, the movie 2, where Spock is covered with radiation because he went in and did whatever he had to save the Enterprise, and one must die for all.
Aha.
Which, by the way, is a good handle for the gospel. Isn't that what Jesus did? We are all guilty of stealing in one way or another. Whether it be not returning what we borrow, or not giving to God, or but one died for all. Jesus took the punishment for us on the cross to forgive you and me.
Wow. Matthew 7:12. In everything, do to others what you would have them do to you.
You got a neighbor that does that a lot for you, don't you?
I do. Her name is Marilyn, and she is truly the answer to my prayers. I prayed I would have a good neighbor when I moved in. And, like, if there's a big Braille envelope that doesn't fit in the mailbox, she will put it on my doorknob, and she will send me messages that say, Cecilia, there's a package on the table outside your door. And she does a lot of other nice things, too.
So that they don't get stolen by somebody else, but that you get it. That's awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doing to others. And I'm sure she, because she would like people to do that for her. Yeah.
And I hope I get the chance to do that someday. Tell me, you have a lead pastor who has been sick for the past 3 weeks.
Yes, he has.
And we continue to pray for him.
Yep.
And so that has meant a lot of extra work for you.
Yeah, it has.
Do you think he would do the same for you?
Yes, he would. Yes, he would. And, you know, that's a perfect example, because it fits in with this commandment also. Because it's not just possessions, but it can be time and work, covering for other people. Yeah. So how can we do that for others, is what this is trying to do. The golden rule. Thanks.
Matthew 5:42. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. All right. Earlier, we talked about giving back the things that we borrow.
Right.
Now, I remember a time when I borrowed a Windows CD from you, and I did not return it.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you let me borrow it when you probably had a feeling that I'd have trouble returning it?
Kind of because of this verse. Don't turn away from those who are asking to borrow. And what's to stop me from saying, hey, Cecilia, I need the disk back from the Windows for the computer I have to update. And you would have said?
Well, then I did say, okay, I'll get it shipped to you. And I didn't for...
And so finally I asked again, and you did, finally. And that's the thing. Jesus is saying here, you know, it's easy to... When you know somebody's not going to be quick in returning it, it's easy to, oh, I'm not going to borrow or lend to them. But he's saying, don't turn away. Be generous. Because there's always that backup you can call and ask for it again. Now, I have had the situation where I've done that, mm-hmm. and they didn't have it. Or it came back ruined or broken.
So do you have to keep lending to someone who doesn't return things, like money, for instance?
Jesus is encouraging us to do that, yes. Now, there does come a point when it comes to money that we're, especially with, I'm thinking, children or certain people, you're just reinforcing a bad behavior, and it's okay to then bring to their attention. You know, I've done this four other times, and the last time when I mentioned it, you said, oh, I'll be sure to do it. And you didn't, that I'm seeing a pattern here that I'm just reinforcing by lending to you. It's okay to talk about it, and maybe at that point even still to lend them again. Because that's what Jesus is trying to say. Be generous with people. Because, boy, wouldn't we want and need it ourselves?
Yes. At the same time, we might think, I can ask so-and-so to borrow money or whatever, and they won't insist that I pay it back. I can just...
And if you do that, what's that called?
I would call that stealing.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what Jesus is saying, is don't steal. Now, on these last two verses, I'd like you to read them both at the same time, one after the other, because they're similar.
Sure. Hebrews 13:16. Do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased.
So we should share. God is pleased.
1 John 3:17. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but he has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him?
How can the love of God be in him? Or the reverse, if the love of God is within you, and you see someone in need, and you have possessions, you will have pity and help.
I have a story to tell.
Mm-hmm.
I was director of an outreach center for blind people, and the outreach center was located in a house right next door to the church.
Mm-hmm.
And we were having a meal together.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly the doorbell rang, and the volunteer who was working with me came to me and said, Cecilia, there's a couple outside, and they say they need to get to the drugstore by 6. They need this medication for their child, and they need $10 to get the medication.
Mm.
And I said, well, the church is closed. Yes, but if you have the $10, can you give it to them or can you lend it to them?
Oh, and so did you?
I had a bad feeling about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt pressured by the volunteer that if I didn't, I'd be a bad Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I had a feeling that the kind of medicine they wanted was the type you get on the street out of a needle.
Mm-hmm.
And but yet, I wanted to be a good Christian, so yes, I did.
We're seeing that an awful lot of people coming up to others. My wife says on a regular basis, people will come up to her when she's driving at a corner and ask for money or things. And there's other times when you're coming out of a store, there's people with will say, please, I need some food. What do you do?
Well, mm-hmm. I know what to do then. I take them to the nearest restaurant, but I couldn't
mm-hmm.
at that point. And they weren't asking for a meal. They were asking for money for medication.
Yeah, yeah. Two thoughts on this one. One, and I just heard from somebody else, Anne at church. Her husband was saying that she made up bags with water and a breakfast bar in each bag. And when someone catches her asking for money, she gives them the bag with the water and the breakfast bar. And it's a way to help, but yet not give money. Giving money is a very tough thing in this day and age. Because, as you noted, people will misuse it. I'd say the second thing, the first was don't if you can help it. But the second thing would be use your Christian judgment.
So it's okay to sometimes not share if you think that it's going to be misused.
Use your Christian judgment. Especially when you know it's going to be hurtful for them. Especially when you know it'll be hurtful. That's not what Jesus is speaking about here. He's speaking here more about the people who just don't want to give at all, who are stingy, and who won't help. Not those who are put into a difficult situation. And then there's sometimes, even in those difficult situations, you're going to be compelled by the Spirit within you. Maybe you don't want to. The Spirit will say, give.
You shall not steal.
What does this mean?
We should fear and love God so that we do not take our neighbor's money or possessions or get them in any dishonest way, but help him to improve and protect his possessions and income.
You know, this commandment speaks a lot about possessions, and possessions are important to human beings because it's what we live by and work with.
Yeah, especially a lot of us disabled people.
And many who are disabled have very little, and some have a lot. But it doesn't matter whether you have a lot or a little. All these things do apply. Please do write us, give us your thoughts. You can do so at
info.
I-N-F-O.
At not-alone.
N-O-T-A-L-O-N-E.
.net.
Dot. Oh, yeah, you did that. N-E-T.
I stole that from you.
Yeah, you did. And remember,
we are not alone.
Do come back again to room 4216.
Credits. Our sincere thanks go to Terry Nord and Robert Vaughn for their interlude music.